Church, say amen. This morning we have come together for none other purpose but to worship God in spirit and in truth. And at this time we are going to do a part of the worship which is known as teaching and the reading of God's word. And let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our righteous Father in heaven, we're thankful for this moment to come to you to worship you in the spirit and in truth. May our hearts be open to receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The subject is, what is the Church of Christ? What is the Church of Christ? Turn with me to Jude, the first chapter, and there's only one chapter. Jude 1, beginning with verse 3. And beginning there with verse 3, we find the writing of Jude saying, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation." Verse 4. "Ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 17. Drop down. "But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts." What is the Church of Christ is the subject. We see here that Jude is warning us about earnestly contending for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. In this statement, Jude, by inspiration, urged all Christians to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. To this truth, nothing can be added, and nothing can be detracted or altered. It has been given one time for all time, and we should earnestly contend for it. Ungodly men are always the enemies of the faith and the peace of the church. This has been the plague of the church in all past ages, and it is happening today. The 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries have been preeminently an age of denominations. But what does the Bible say about the church? Now let's turn to our text, Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14. "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want us to look at some points here concerning this scripture about what is the Church of Christ. First of all, let's understand something about the church. The church was built by Jesus Christ himself. When Christ spoke of the building of the church, he used a possessive term, and that term was my church. The church is therefore Christ's church, or, as we say, the Church of Christ. Christ purchased the church with his own blood, Acts 20 and 28. He gave himself for it in Ephesians 5 and 25. It is his church, hence the expression, the Church of Christ. It is not a title. It is simply a descriptive term indicating the fact that the church is the possession of Christ, denoting his ownership of the church. It is the same as saying Christ's church. Which we would say the Church of Christ when we say the Church of Christ. It is the Church of Christ because, as I said, he built it. Let's look at another point. The rock upon which the church was built is the truth which Peter confessed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that truth, that foundation, the church stands today. The church was not built upon Peter, but upon the confession. There are two Greek words in Matthew 16 and 18 that need to be noted. Petros, translated Peter, a noun, masculine gender, meaning a rock or piece of rock. Petra, P-E-T-R-A, translated rock, a noun, feminine gender, meaning the bedrock or a massive rock. This is a different work from Petros. The church is built upon this Petra as a foundation that being, and that is the deity of Jesus. The church has a divine foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. You can check that. That says that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The word church is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, a noun which is feminine gender, meaning an assembly called together or congregation of people. Here, the word means the called out or assembly of our Lord's people. We studied this morning about church assemblies. And in those church assemblies that we studied about, there were groups that met in certain homes, such as Aquila and Priscilla, such as Nephas, and such as Philemon. But here, the word itself, church, is from the Greek noun meaning the called out. These are called out of the world in a plural sense by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 14. The church of Christ is the people who have been saved by the gospel. It is not the building, the physical structure in which the people meet to worship the Lord. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, we read of Peter's sermons on the day of Pentecost and of the people being told as believers to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Go to Acts 2 and verse 38. And about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel and were baptized. Go drop down in Acts 2 verse 41. And thus were saved. According to Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth and is what? Baptized shall be saved. The chapter closes, going back to Acts, the second chapter, verse 47, by saying, the Lord added to the what? Church daily such as should be saved. Some of your translations may say he added to the number, but that number were those that were being saved. The saved, who are they? Who were added? The church were those that were saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Whose church were they added to? Well, Jesus said he was going to build whose church? My church. And so they were added to the Lord's church. And who were added? Who were those that were added? The saved. And who were saved? Those that were repented and were what? Baptized. These saved people became the Lord's church. Today also, all saved people are in the Lord's church. A person cannot be saved and not be in the church. And so, thus the church of Christ began on the first day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, following the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ into heaven. It was also on the first day of the week, as Pentecost, a Jewish feast day, always came on this day. Peter and all the other apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit while preaching. This was and is the true church as promised and built by Jesus Christ. People by the same process are saved and added to the church today. Let's notice something else. Christ built how many churches? Only one church. And he is the head of that one church, the saved. He said, going back to our text, I will build what? My church, not my churches. Christ is the head of the body, the church, declared Paul. Let's look at a scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 22 through 23. God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Go over there to Colossians 1 and 18. And He is the head of the what? The body, which is the church. There are many members, but how many bodies? One body. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. And all are baptized into that one body, whether they be Jews or Greek. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. No human being is the head of the church of Christ. We don't have a human head on earth that is the head of God's church. Christ is the head of the one church over His own body, which is only one body. Human churches have their human heads over them, but not so in the Lord's church. Christ is the only head over His church, and He has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. There is how many bodies? One body. Ephesians 4 and 4. What is the church of Christ? The church had not been built by the time of this conversation that we read in Matthew, the 16th chapter, of Christ with the apostles. He said, I will build my church. Will build is future tense. But as we have already observed, the church was established on what day? The day of Pentecost. The first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ and His resurrection. Acts, the second chapter. Hence we have learned when, where, and by whom the church was established and what it is. The second chapter of Acts is very important in teaching about the Lord's church and its beginning. Prior to the day of Pentecost, the church or kingdom was in preparatory stage, yet being established, yet to be established. And so John the Baptist was never in Christ's church. As a matter of fact, he was what? Beheaded before the church began. Is that right? But his teachings helped to prepare the way for the church's beginning, which was on the day of Pentecost in in Matthew 3, verse 1 through 5. Let's look at that for a minute. Let's go to Matthew's, the third chapter, and I'll read along with you Matthew's 3, verses 1 through 5. Matthew's 3, verses 1 through 5, or we can actually go to 1 through 6. And the reading says, in those days, who? John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? Is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying what? In the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make His path straight. Now John the Baptist was clothed in what? Camel hair, with leather belt around his waist. And his food was what? Locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions around the Jordan went out to see him. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. This baptism was the baptism of who? John. But it was only for what? Repentance. The church of Christ. What is the church of Christ? Well, we have established John the Baptist was not in the church of Christ, but the church had not been built by the time of that conversation that Christ made with those apostles. But what is the church of Christ? Christ's statement that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it had reference to his death and resurrection. Remember what he said in Matthew 16. Go back there. Ancient cities had walls and gates around them. The word hell in the King James Version is translated Hades in the American Standard Version of 1901. If you have the older King James Version of 1611, it will say hell. But actually, it should read Hades. And the proper translation is there for that reason. And I will explain that to you, as well as in the New King James Version and other translations. Hades refers to the realm of disembodied spirits or soul. It is the place where the spirit goes at death to await the resurrection of the body. The compartment of the righteous spirits in Hades is called paradise. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, what did he say to him? Go to Luke 23 and 43. What did he say to the thief on the cross? Today, you shall be with me where? In paradise. Christ died and went to Hades. Yet Christ's spirit, after death, went to Hades while his body was left in the tomb. Go to Acts 2 and verse 27. And then Acts 2 and verse 31. So we see the disembodiment of Christ was that his spirit went where? To Hades. But what part of Hades? The place known as paradise. And his body was buried in the tomb. Peter stressed this in his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Hence the word it in Matthew 16 and 18 means that Hades would not keep Christ from building his church. He would come forth from the dead and build his church. So we often sing the song, up from the grave he rose. Let us note some of Peter's language. Go back to Acts, the second chapter, and let's drop down to verse 24. Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Verse 25, for David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Verse 25, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. Verse 27, for you will not leave my soul where? In Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Now, that was a prophecy spoken to David concerning Christ and his death. But verse 29, Peter says this, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both what? Dead and buried. Where is David? Dead and buried. And his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Verse 31, he foreseeing this spoke concerning the what? Resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witness. Verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. What was he talking about? He was talking about all those men that were speaking in what? Tongues on the day of what? Pentecost. For David did not ascend to the heavens, verse 34, but he says himself, the Lord said to who? My Lord, sit on my right hand. That's God the Father speaking to who? God the Son. Till I make your enemies your what? Footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both who? Lord and Christ. And so let's talk about something. Yeah, there's another part of hell. Another usage of the word hell, and that is the second death. Gehenna is the Greek word that means hell, the place of everlasting punishment for the wicked beyond the day of judgment. Jesus said, turn to Matthew 10 and verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the what? But cannot kill the what? But rather fear him who is able to destroy both what? Soul and body in what? In hell. Now that hell is the place of eternal punishment. So Christ's soul did not go to that hell. It did not go to hell. It went to where? To Hades. When he died on the cross, as the King James Version 1611 teaches, but it went to Hades. But Christ could not have established his church if he had not come forth from Hades and the grave. Let's turn to Revelations 1 and 18. Revelations 1 and 18. And look at something that Christ says. He says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, he says, I am he who what? Lives, was what? Dead. And behold, I am what? Alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of what? Hades and what? And death. When Christ came back from the dead, he took away the sting of death. You see, the sting of death is sin. If we die in our sins, we will go to that other compartment in Hades, which is the place of torment, which we will stay until the day of judgment. You say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Jackson? You still have Revelation? Turn to Revelation 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12, we begin there. And John writes this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And what was open? And the books were open. And another book was open. Which is the book of what? And the dead were judged according to their what? Whatever we take from this world, it certainly won't be money. It won't be material things, but there will be an accounting of everything that we've done. Is that right? The works that we have done, we're going to be judged by those works because there is a book. Is that right? An accounting book. And so another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were where? In them. What is that saying? Everyone that had died will be resurrected. Is that right? Even those that are in the place known as what? Hades. They are going to be judged. And they were, verse 13 tells you, and they were what? Judge each one according to his works. And then what happened to death and Hades? They were emptied out, right? Death and Hades were cast into the lake of what? Fire. This is the what? Second death. And so we see now what the word Hades is and what the word hell in the context of the second death is. We don't want to go to that place of the torment, as we learn in Luke, the 16th chapter, which is the other side of paradise in Hades. We want to go to that place known as paradise. Is that right? So we know that we need to be in the place where salvation is, and salvation is in Christ Jesus. But we need to know what is the Church of Christ. The expression, the churches of Christ, salute you. Where do we find that? Romans what? 16 and 16. Turn there. As used by the Apostle Paul meant the local groups or congregations of the saved. You know, there were many congregations of the churches of Christ. As we studied this morning, some were even meeting in homes. Is that right? And there were even larger congregations that were meeting in the temple sometimes. As many as 3,000 people were baptized on the day of what? Pentecost. Belonging to Christ. These all were local groups or congregations. And so the expressions, the churches of Christ, is not talking about a bunch of denominations, is it? It's talking about one body, but many local groups of the church. Is that right? They were not different denominations. They were all the same faith and practice, all reference to the local congregation of the one church, the only unit of the organization in the Lord's church is the local congregation, independent in its government, directed by elders who serve under the supreme oversight of Christ. Turn to Acts 14 and 23. See it for yourself. Turn to Acts 20, 28 through 32. See it for yourself. Turn to 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. So the word church is used in two basic senses in the scripture. The universal sense, including the saved, and the local congregation sense, in the of those that are the saved that meet in a certain locality. But what is the Church of Christ? The Bible, in speaking of the organism known as the Church of Christ, uses several designation or figures of speech describing the church. One, the saved group is viewed, or if it is viewed from the standpoint of government, it is called the kingdom with Christ as the what? King. Luke 22, verse 29 to 30, Hebrews 12 and 28. Church and kingdom are used by Christ with reference to the same institution. So when Christ talked about the kingdom, what was he talking about? The church. And we know that the church is the what? Is the kingdom of Christ. To be in the church of Christ is to be in the what? The kingdom of Christ. Let's turn to Colossians 1 and 13. You don't believe me. Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the what? Kingdom of His Son, of the Son of His love, as some of the scripture says. And Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the what? Forgiveness of sins. Now, the church is spoken of from the standpoint of an organization at times. And when it is speaking of the church from an organizational standpoint, it is called the body, with Christ as the what? The head of the body. How many heads is over that body? One. And all of the saved are members of how many bodies? One. Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. One is baptized into as a penitent believer into this body. Galatians 3, 27 and 28. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have done what? Put on Christ. If the church is viewed from the standpoint of a family, then it is called the house of God. And 1 Timothy 3 and 15. And John 3 and 3 and John 3 and 5. In order to see God and see the kingdom of God, you must be what? Born again. God has no children who are not in His family. So no one can be saved without becoming a member of the church of Christ, any more than a child can be born without also becoming a member of the family. If the church is described from the standpoint of worship, it is called the temple of God. We know that the God doesn't need this building, does he? But he needs us. Why do we know that? Because we can go to Acts 7 and 48. God dwells in a spiritual house and is worshipped there. But God dwelleth not in temples made with what? With hands. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And that's saying a lot. If we are the temple of God, that we need to do what? Live a what? Righteous life. So that God can dwell in us. As God has said, I will dwell what? In them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Congregational worship in the church is very simple. So when we talk about the temple, we think about worship. For worship to be acceptable, it must be according to the New Testament. God is a what? And they that worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. John 4 and 24. Each local congregation came together upon what day of the week? First day of the week to break bread. Acts 20 and 7. Their worship consists of five simple acts. The Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 23 to 29, singing. Ephesians 5 and 19, prayer. Acts 2 and 42, God's word read and taught. Colossians 4 and 16, giving of their income to help support the Lord's work. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. There were no mechanical instruments of music in their worship, and only the men took lead in the public worship, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, verse 11 through 14. If the church is viewed in reference to its relationship with Christ, it is called the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 23 through 32. Each individual member wears whose name? Christ's name. And what is that name? What do we call? Christians. Are we called by any other name? No, we are called Christians. The word is found three times in the New Testament. And where do we find it? Acts 11 and what? 26. Also, Acts 26 and 28 and 1 Peter, what? 4 and verse 16. It says, if any man is a Christian, let him not be a what? Be ashamed, but glorify Christ. Or glorify God. Christians glorify God in this sense. Since Christian is a divine name given by God, it is wrong for followers of Christ to wear human religious name. Don't call yourself a Baptist. Not picking on them. Because John the Baptist was never what? A member of the church. in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 13, there was a problem. Some were calling themselves after Paul, and some Apollos, and some Cephas. But Paul wanted them to know that Christ was not what? And that they should call themselves after Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. This is why each individual in the church is called a Christian, and the individual congregations are called the churches of what? Churches of Christ. Romans 16 and 16. Finally, all of the early Christians were in the Lord's church. None of them were a member of any denomination. One who is in the Lord's church will not be in any denomination of any kind. The church of the New Testament does exist today. What did I read from when I first read the scripture? Jude, what? The third verse. That we are to earnestly contend for what? The faith that has been once delivered for all. Is that right? The church does exist today and can be identified. Other power. The Lord's church is also is eternal. It stands forever. Daniel 2 and 44. Neither death nor any other power has ever completely destroyed the church. The church has gone through periods of falling away. And we have had what is known as the restoration period. And someone has asked me, what does that mean to restore? Well, what it means to restore is just basically going back to the Word and earnestly contending for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Because we know something about God's Word. God's Word is eternal. Is that right? And in Luke, the 8th chapter, in verse 11, the seed of the kingdom is the Word of God, and the Word of God is incorruptible. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. We must continue to teach exactly what the Bible says. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and 9. But only those who receive the Lord on His terms are given and added to the church that Jesus built. Revelations 22 and 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whosoever